Well, thank you for joining us today, and my name is Gaylord. I'm one of the English pastors here, and I just want to say again, we really, really miss seeing you, okay? I really, really miss being around you, to see you, to talk to you, to wave to you. Definitely miss hugging you guys, and I know there will be a time, but right now, as we gather together virtually, just know that this fellowship that we have is not bound or hindered by the fact that we are not physically together. But may we realize that because of Jesus Christ, our fellowship can be very, very rich. And so we have to just be a little bit more intentional about it. We have been going through a sermon series titled Thrive, Living by Faith and Not in Fear. We're going to do that through the end of this month. And really, we want to experience God doing through us what only He can do. If we live in a way where it's well within our comfort zone, well within our skills, well within our knowledge, I challenge us to say, that's not really living by faith. Living by faith is when we are going beyond our comfort zones, when we are beyond our capabilities, when we are beyond knowing what to do, when we're beyond our patience, when we are stretched beyond our love. That is living by faith. And that, ironically, is where we thrive. That is where we really experience God, because only He can take us through that area of our life. So it's sort of counterintuitive to think that we need to live in a way where we are stretched in our faith. Today, I'd like us to take some time to look in the book of Luke, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And we'll be looking at Jesus' mom, Mary. Now, I appreciate my mom even more today than when I was growing up. And just to be clear, mom and I had a great relationship. All of my memory, maybe not in all of her memory, but all of my memory, my mom and I have always been close. And I used to obviously appreciate her taking care of us. My mom has three sons, no daughters. So they're all very thankful that we're married and have daughter-in-laws. They have daughter-in-laws now, but three boys. So my mom took care of all of us. She's not very athletic, okay? She doesn't even ride a bike. Never quite learned how to do that. I think she had to do PE, and she actually injured herself in track and field and just hated it. So, but then we all liked sports. My dad loved sports, and so she would come to the games. And I didn't know if we played flag football in middle school, high school. We played softball, baseball. We played volleyball. We played all kinds of sports. And mom would come to the games. And she wouldn't come to all of them, but she would come. And I think now, that must have been so painful for her. I mean, we had a scoreboard so she could tell, you know, if we were winning or losing. But sometimes we'd get banged up. Or, you know, I'd come home on crutches or something, and she just always was there. She always just took care of us. And, man, she could cook, okay? I know you think your moms are great cooks. My mom's the best, okay? I'm just saying, let's just make it clear. My wife's a great cook, too. Let's put that on record. But right now, I appreciate my mom even more. And many of you know, and I'm very thankful. Many of you keep asking. My dad is battling cancer. And so mom right now is the primary caregiver. We're very thankful for the people who are in their lives, the doctors, the nurses, the medical personnel, the people at the hotel. My mom and dad have to drive about 2 hours to go to Tampa and every week. So every other week he has the infusion, and in between he has checkups. So at first they were trying to have people help drive them, and then my brothers and I, we can't go right now because of the virus situation. And so mom and dad, they just sort of make their way to Tampa. It's a two-hour drive. And mom is driving more. I mean, she could always drive. I mean, she drove us all the time. But, you know, over the last several years, she has driven less and dad has driven more. And so they're learning how to be a team, you know. And you always have the not the backseat driver, the side seat driver. And, you know, they get a little nervous and stuff. But they're figuring it out. And, you know, I know when my mom's driving, if my dad's and I say, hey, be careful, you know, that just stresses her out. But she said, I'm getting the hang of it again. And God is just giving them grace. They know where to stop at the same stop every time at the truck stop. Love's truck stop somewhere in between. I think the people know them by now. I just love and appreciate my mom so much. She has a task that is not easy. But I would like to, and I think my mom would respect this, I'd like us to take a peek into a mom who had, I think, an incredibly tough job. We all, and moms, you guys are in a tough time right now. I mean, it's a very challenging time. I mean, you love your kids, right? Most of the time, I think, I hope. But try to imagine being Jesus' mom. Talk about expectations. Now, some of you say, "Ah, come on, it was easy to be Mary, And, you know, Jesus is your son. He's sinless. Okay, let's realize that Jesus was 100% human. In other words, there were temptations. There were times where he could have been difficult. Being difficult is not a sin, even though I sometimes wish it was. But Jesus knew. As he was growing up, he experienced everything that a little boy would experience, except for sinning. Mary had a big job. And realize this, Mary knew from day one that there was something extremely unique about her son, Jesus. And so we're going to look at that and just try to sort of unpack what she faced and what are some things we can learn. So I titled today's message, Lessons from Jesus' Mom on How to Thrive. Now, if you're not a mom, and you never will be a mom, especially us of the male persuasion, we're never going to be moms. Please don't check out. There are things in this God's Word that always can apply to you. So please stay involved. And some of you may be kids, like, I don't want to talk about being a mom. If you learn now, it may save you some heartache later. So how come I'm looking at Mary? Let me just refer back to Hebrews 11. We've used that sort of as a main text, but let me read for you Hebrews 11, verse 32. What more shall I say, the writer of Hebrews says? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, verse 35, women received back their dead by resurrection. Another version says, women received their loved ones back again from death. Mary, I believe, is the most famous woman who received her loved one back from the grave. What made her live the way she did? How did she live knowing, again, from day one that Jesus was to be the Savior of the world? What do you mean by Savior, Pastor? We are all sinners. We absolutely deserve to be punished for our sins. And that punishment is eternal separation from God. And that's it. Except that God, in his love, chose to provide a way so that broken people, sinful people, could still have a relationship that is reconciled to God. But it couldn't be by man's standards. And it couldn't let down from God's standards. So Jesus, his son, was sent to die for us and to take our punishment. And all of us who put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our forgiver, and as our Lord, we will have that relationship that's broken to be reconciled and to be forgiven and to be his children. That is why Jesus came. And Mary knew that. Mary carried that all through her heart. We'll realize as we read through different passages through the Gospels that Mary would observe things, and Scripture says she would ponder them. She would keep them in her heart. And you know why? Because she knew, as we read today's passage, she knew that there was something special and unique about Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Please follow along in your Bibles or listen very carefully. Luke chapter 1, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What can we learn from Mary? This is a Christmas passage we usually read, and I know it's May, but this is just such a wonderful story, an insight into this wonderful lady called Mary. What can we learn from her on how she was able to live by faith and to thrive, even though she had such a huge responsibility? The first thing I'd like to point out is that Mary was a woman of humility, of character. Mary was a woman of humility and character. When the angel came to her, Gabriel, he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary did not say, "Oh, that is great, it's so good to see you." No, scripture says she was greatly troubled. She was confused at this saying. She was disturbed in her heart. And she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Now, I just want to say, Mary's role of being a mom, and being specifically the mother of Jesus, was prophesied a long time before she lived. Her life and role was foreshadowed in the Old Testament. In a prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, it says, "There will be a virgin mother of Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." And later on, Emmanuel was referred to as the future savior of his people. Again, God with us. Now, let's just put it in context. When Isaiah was alive and wrote, approximately about 700 years, okay, prophesied 700 years about Mary, before Mary came on the scene, before Jesus was born. Mary, let me just note this, Mary was not troubled by the fact that an angel was speaking to her. If you look at the passage, she was troubled or confused by what he said. Okay, so she had faith in God. She was a godly woman. She was a godly young woman. And again, what she was troubled by is what he said. Why was she troubled by that? I believe it shows her humility, because she knew that she was just this lady that was very young. And I'll talk a little bit about this later, but she was poor. She was not from a famous family or anything. And here this angel comes to her and says to her, "Greetings, O favored one." And the root idea of favored is you have been given grace. Multiple grace from God to you is bestowed on you. Grace is bestowed on you. The Lord is with you. And basically say, why are you greeting me with such an exalted way? Why are you greeting me in this manner? I don't deserve this. She was struggling with the greeting. She was confused. What are you talking about, angel? She had never expected to be the one that God would choose to be the mother of the Messiah. I've heard some people will say, some pastors and preachers will say, every Jewish girl aspired that maybe she was the one who would be the Messiah's mother. I don't know. I wasn't there. But Mary's response, I believe, just shows her humility, her character, her integrity, her honesty. It's like, what? Angel, whoa, why are you greeting me in this way? Oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. I do not deserve that kind of a greeting. And when she didn't know what to do, again, it just shows her character. She didn't freak out. She didn't start crying. She didn't start arguing. Scripture says she didn't know what to do. She responded instead in a calm and an honest and careful way. The exact word scripture says, she tried to discern. She tried to understand. This idea of trying to discern, to think or reason with thoroughness and completeness, to think out very carefully. She was going through in her mind in that instant, just thinking, what is going on? Why is this? Okay, there's an angel here, and most of us would be shocked by that. She was focused on what he said to her. I believe that this shows her heart of humility and honesty. I think she was a woman of character. You know, moms, specifically, how do you respond when you are confused or troubled? When something is said to you, something is done, something is not said, something is not done, how do you respond? Do we respond with humility? Do we respond in a way where we come to the Lord and say, please, I need to discern what is going on here. I know for some moms, especially in this time, they're just this far from just losing it. The pressures and the stress they're processing in their own heart, it's just overwhelming. The burdens are just not able to be explained. And to say, Pastor, it's easy for you to stand there, you're not even a mom, and to say, oh, just be humble, just discern. But I submit to you another mom's story. And moms, let me ask you a little bit more, and I'm leaning into this a little bit, but how is this humility department for you? Moms are very, very proud people. What I mean by that is they're often very, very proud of their children. They're very, very proud of the house that they've created and they work on. They're very, very proud of their household and the dynamic that is there. They work hard, they read hard, they apply things, they spend money as wisely as they can, they prepare things. Moms do so much. And the dark side of all that hard work is pride. How often do moms just share with each other and you can just see there's the, oh, that is so great, but inside they're thinking, oh no, there's a higher standard set. What am I going to do? What do other people think? Moms, be careful. Learn from Mary. Learn from her. And lest any of us check out, all of us, we need to learn. And in order to thrive, we have to be humble. We have to come before the Lord with humility. We must come before our families with humility. We must go to work with humility. We must serve in our churches with humility. We must interact in our relationships with humility. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And then in other passages in Scripture, the Lord is very close. He draws near to those who have a humble and a contrite heart. A humble and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. So number one, we see from Mary, we learn from her, in order to thrive, there must be this humility. When she heard the angel, she goes, no, please, this is confusing. Why are you coming to me with such an amazing, amazing greeting? But later on, again, the angel will say, you have found favor. He actually uses the word charis, which means grace. He said, you are a graced person. So we see that. Secondly, let's move on because of time. What else do we learn about Mary? I submit to you that Mary clearly understood who she was and she understood what her limitations were. She clearly understood who she was and what her limitations were. And yet, her focus was not on what she couldn't do. Her focus was on asking God for direction. Look verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have, again, found favor or charis, grace with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You know, the angel Gabriel is probably like, oh, that's such a great announcement I just gave you. And Mary just looked at him and says, what? How will this be? I am a virgin. I'm not even married yet. What do you mean I'm going to be a mother? And how old was Mary at this time? Commentators, historians are not 100% sure, but based on the time and the customs of the time, she was possibly about 15 or 16 years old. Okay, she was a teenager. Now, she was already betrothed or engaged to be married to Joseph in those days. They would often do that. Families would work together. And they would have this betrothal time, which is more than just what we call engagement. In ancient Jewish marriages, let me just read some things here. The word engaged or betrothed had a different meaning. First, the two families would agree to the union, negotiate the betrothal, which included like a dowry kind of thing, that the bride, the bride's family would pay pay to the bride's family. And next, a public announcement would be made. At this point, it was very public that these two were pledged. Okay, they are hands off, all right? No one else can be courting them. These two are set to be together. Now, at this point, even though the couple was not officially married, their relationship could be broken only through death or divorce. Sexual relations were not yet permitted. The second step lasted for about a year. During that time, the couple would live separately with their parents. The waiting period would demonstrate that there's purity. You know, 9 months comes by, no baby, then, okay, see, they are pure. This is a way to show that, yes, they are engaged, they are committed to each other, but this is just another step of the betrothal period. Again, if she was found pregnant, that the marriage would be annulled. After this waiting time, the couple would then be married and begin living together. So this is what she's in. She's in that year-long, approximately year-long process. And she was just told five things. Your son, he's going to be great. Your son will be called the Son of the Most High, given the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Israel, house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. No pressure, Mary. This is your son. Notice again, Mary actually wasn't doubting the angel's words. She was wondering, first of all, why was she chosen? And then more importantly, she was saying, how in the world was this going to be? You see, she wasn't necessarily pushing back and saying, that is stupid or that is impossible. She was saying, okay, how is this going to happen? Let's just say I'm willing. How is this going to happen? She asked how because she knew it herself. There was no way that she could do this task. Her focus was, angel, how am I going to do this? She was fully engaged with this task. She was beyond like, oh, I'm not sure I want to do that. She was saying, okay, how? How is this going to be done? How is this going to be done? She knew her limitations. Mary knew, and she turned to God. And I'd like to apply this by saying, moms, know who you are and know how God made you. Know what you can do and know what you cannot do, okay? Some moms sing like the birds, like sing like an angel, right? Even though I've never heard an angel, but I heard they're pretty good singers, all right? And then there's other moms who can't carry a tune in a bucket, okay? Just God did not give them that gift. Know who you are. Know how God made you. Don't try to be like some other mom in your behavior, in your temperament, in your skills. You're uniquely selected. You are the uniquely selected mother of your children. God handpicked you for your children. Now, let me just clarify. You can emulate godly character. Right? If you see a mom, it's like, wow, I just appreciate her humility, for example. But really, at the end of the day, just be like Christ. I mean, emulate Christ. Try to be like him, right? But I find, and this is just from my observation, readings, and just hearing some testimonies, it is sometimes a vicious world. Sometimes play dates are very depressing. Sometimes when people get together, the moms, usually it's the moms that are there, and, you know, they enjoy the company, they enjoy the group of, you know, babysitting kind of thing. They enjoy seeing the new toys and talking and stuff. But a lot of times they say, oh, what do you do? And there's a certain level where it's great. Advice sharing and, oh, wow, that's a great idea. But there's also a dark side to those gatherings. There's a dark side when moms get together when they compare. And or they, again, may boast. Don't go there. Don't try to be someone you're not. Know who God has made you to be. You have been uniquely equipped. You are uniquely empowered. You are uniquely chosen to be your children's mom. And no one can take that from you. God has given that to you. Embrace it, but know who you are. Know who you are. Know what your limitations are. And as you hit those limitations, you just focus, say, God, will you be the one that guides me? And again, I want to apply this to all of us. We all need to understand who we are. And we also need to get to the point, God, will you be the one that shows me who I am? One of the most stressful things in life is trying to be someone you're not. Trying to be someone God never intended you to be. Moms, all of us, let us know who we are, know our limitations, know our strengths, and say, God, will you be the one that shows us how to do the tasks you set before us? God has given us tasks that are absolutely needing him. Right? Otherwise, why would he tell us, live by faith, but you can do it on your own? God doesn't work that way. God has said, I am calling you. I am giving you this amazing task, but you're going to need me. Mary understood that. She knew who she was. She knew her limitations, and she embraced them by going to the Father, going to Jesus, going to the Holy Spirit for his power. And the last thing I want to point out is, even though Mary was overwhelmed by God's will, she chose to completely submit to him with a servant's heart of faith. Verse 35, the angels answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary's response was, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. The angel Gabriel responded to Mary's last question of how will this be with an answer that made no sense. Okay? Mary asked a very honest question. How am I going to? I'm a virgin. And then the angel Gabriel says, oh, this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God's power will produce in you a child. No man will be involved. You will conceive by God's direct power. Mary's like, okay, has this happened before? What? That's your answer? Mary was preparing for marriage. Being a mom was probably not on the top of her bucket list yet. She was looking forward to starting starting their marriage together, looking forward to her wedding day. Gabriel also pointed out a sign by saying that her cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren for many years, her cousin Elizabeth was older, so already past the time that normally women would have children. And the angel said, look, here's a sign for you. Your cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. That's another miracle there. But by the way, in case you forgot, God specializes in the impossible. So that is what the angel said in response to Mary saying, huh, how is this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Mary's response was, okay. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Moms, how many times, moms, have you looked at the task in front of you and just been completely overwhelmed? Homeschooling, those are like two dirty words now for some people. Homeschooling, it's so hard. I was talking to a mom recently and she was sharing how, yes, she has the school's work, but then she realized she has to actually do some study to figure out how to teach the concept. She knows the concept, but how do you teach that concept to your child? So she's doing double the work and looking at the schoolwork, and she has three kids, all right? So yeah, homeschooling is a big, big challenge. In our house, the meal planning and prep falls on my wife's shoulders the vast majority of the time. As soon as one meal is done, she's already thinking about the next few meals. And this can be tiring, especially now when we don't say, we can't really, let's just go out to eat. Okay? Sometimes we'll do takeout, but we've been trying to be careful about that. So Tina's just done so much. I appreciate what she does. I appreciate this task that she embraces and does super well. But that's a lot of pressure. Right now, health in the family. Do you wear a mask? Do you not wear a mask? How often do you put on hand sanitizer? How many times, how do you teach the kids to count to 20 as they're washing their hands and rinsing? What a time to be worried about your family's health. When I was growing up, I don't even remember going to dad when I wasn't feeling well. And not that he didn't care, I just think I didn't think he knew what he was doing. So I just wouldn't go to him. And that's probably not fair to my dad. I just always thought my mom would know better, how to make me feel better. I just trusted her judgment medically. I mean, she wasn't a doctor, but I just viewed her as the one to go to. That's a big challenge. Some of you are trying to balance working outside the home with the work you already have inside the home. Some of you are doing this alone. There is no husband. There is no daddy in the house. The Bible talks about God's huge heart and special focus on the families of the fatherless. I've talked to some in our church, both in our the ones I know of in our English and our Mandarin congregations. It is hard. Moms, in this case, I know you're exhausted. There's no end in sight. It's overwhelming. Know that God will give you what you need each day. Don't think way down the road, just today. And then tomorrow he'll give you what you need for tomorrow, or he'll bring people to come alongside. But I do not want to minimize the challenge. Those of you who do have husbands, parenting is hard, but then you have to be a wife and have a strong marriage too. It is one of the most difficult tasks on the planet to be a mom. Overworked and underpaid, we joke. Yet God has called you to be a mother. How did Mary respond? She said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. She said, this word really means slave girl. I know that's terrible connotations, but that is the word she used. I am the slave girl of the Lord. It expresses complete obedience. She could not do anything but the will of her master. And this is reinforced when she says, let it be to me according to your word. Mary believed the angel's words. She agreed to bear the child. And even under humanly impossible circumstances, even with difficult social consequences, realize when Mary said, be it unto me as according to your word, when she says, I am the handmaid, I am the slave girl to the Lord, do with me, just use me. Yes, I am all in. What she was also saying is, I am an unmarried girl who's going to be pregnant. This is disaster. Unless the father of the child agrees to marry, she would probably remain unmarried all of her life. When Mary said yes, she knew that her own father might reject her. She could be forced into begging or worse, into prostitution in order to earn her living. She understood when she said yes that she was risking losing Joseph and losing her family, losing her reputation. Her story, if she told people, oh, I'm pregnant because, well, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I conceived because God put this baby inside of me. They're going to think she's crazy. And yet Mary said, yes, I will do this. I am submitting to you. May it be according to your word. Mary was a woman of faith. And Mary said that she probably didn't even realize all of the things that might go with it and the risks. You know, we need that kind of trust. Moms, you need this kind of trust. All of us need this. Too many will wait to see the bottom line before they offer themselves to God. God just wants us to say yes. No matter what his question is, we will say yes. Moms, I encourage you, will you turn to God by faith and say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. He will not give you a task that you cannot do with his help, with his strength, with his grace, his leadership, his wisdom, his love and courage he has given you and you have at your disposal everything you need to be an amazing mother to your children. Remember the verse that is right before Mary responded. The last thing she heard, the last words that are recorded here that she heard from Gabriel is that nothing will be impossible with God. What else? Time has just flown by, but let me just mention to you, as we just look forward to other things in Mary's life, she continued to exhibit great courage. The first thing we notice in John chapter 2 is that there was a wedding. Jesus was there, some of the others were there, his mom was there. They ran out of wine. Who was the one that said, hey, Jesus, they're out of wine? And in fact, Jesus responds to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. And the mother, Mary, turned to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Mary knew that her son was there for a reason. Mary knew that he could do something about it because he was the son of God as well as her son. Mary was instrumental in calling Jesus' attention to the need And these verses remind us of Jesus' true purpose. She approached Jesus when he was left behind at the temple when he was 12. She went from Nazareth to Capernaum when she learned what was being reported there about Jesus. She was present at the crucifixion. She saw her own son horribly, horribly dying, just beaten to a pulp. She couldn't even recognize his face, and she didn't shy away from it. She was there. She was a woman of faith. Jesus looked down at her, and we see Jesus' love for her. The apostle John, his disciple John was next to her, and he said, "John, will you take care of my mom?" And John took care of him, took care of Mary on behalf of Jesus. There was a special love there, but Mary was there. Mary was a person of discipleship and faith. And the last thing we see about Mary is Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Jesus had left. They returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. All the disciples, right? All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Jesus' brothers. This is the last time that her name is mentioned in the New Testament. This is the last glimpse we have of her. What do we learn from her? This woman who knew how to thrive because she lived by faith and not in fear. We learn from Mary that we need to be humble. We learn from Mary's life that we need to be clear in knowing who we are. We need to know our limits, and then we need to trust God. And we need to have a submissive heart to God and say, "God, I am all in, no matter what the task." Happy Mother's Day to all of you moms. But for all of us, let us learn how to thrive like this amazing woman named Mary. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for this opportunity we have had to open your word. I do pray that this was an encouragement and also a challenge, not only to our moms, but also to all of us. And God, I ask that you will guide us as we go through this day. Again, we just thank you for our moms. Give them special blessings on this day. And may we honor you in how we live with humility, with a clear understanding of who you've made us to be, and with a servant's heart that is 100% in. And we pray this in your name. Amen.